Revelation chapter 1. And our text this evening is found there in that verse 15. In verse 15 we read, "And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." I want to particularly look this evening at the feet of Christ. "And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace." It was while John was in the Spirit in the Lord's day that we are told he heard behind him a great voice. And one of the things that that voice said unto John was, "What thou seest, write in a book." Then John records for us, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me." Remember, he was told, "What thou seest, write in a book." So what then did John see that he was to record in the book? We're told that he turned. First of all, he saw seven golden candlesticks. But that was not all that he saw. Upon turning, he saw in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man. He then goes on to describe and indeed to record and write about what he saw. As a result, we have one of the most glorious descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ found anywhere in Scripture. And this all hinged upon John responding to the voice that he heard. I have often wondered what would have happened had John not have responded to the voice that he heard behind him. John would have missed, had he not turned, he would have missed this glorious revelation and view of Jesus Christ. And how often have we missed out with the Lord because we have not responded to his voice? We have not been in the Spirit of worship on the Lord's day, so we have missed out with the Lord. Perhaps we have not been in the Spirit of prayer on prayer meeting night, so we have missed out with the Lord. And if we hear his voice today, let us then respond to that voice and turn, for we never know what the Lord will reveal to us if we turn in response to his voice. Yes, John turned and saw seven candlesticks. But that is not what John focused on, first of all. He saw the candlesticks, and then he saw one standing in the midst of the candlesticks. His focus was upon the one in the midst of the candlesticks, namely the Son of Man. He looked beyond the candlesticks and he looked to Christ. The candlesticks, of course, represent the churches in Asia. And so really John was looking beyond the churches and he was looking to Christ. His focus wasn't on the churches, his focus was on Christ. And sometimes we can get our focus on the church, but we need to look beyond the church and look upon Christ. That's what John did that day. He was feasting his eyes, his gaze upon the one who was in the midst. It is interesting to know that John was the one who always seemed to see Christ in the midst. Whenever he stood that day at Calvary and recorded for us what he saw, we're told in John 19, verse 18, there were where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. John wasn't taken up with the thieves, the malefactors. He was taken up with the Master, with Jesus Christ. His eyes were the one upon the one who was in the midst. And afterwards, when the Lord Jesus rose victorious o'er the grave and met with his disciples there in the upper room where the door was shut for fear of the Jews, John records for us that there the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. John's focus was always on Christ. He always saw the Lord Jesus as being in the midst. And as far as John was concerned, Christ was always the center of attraction. As he is here, he doesn't focus on the candlesticks, he focuses on Christ. What is a candlestick? No matter how brightly it burns, what is that candlestick to be compared with the one whose countenance is as the sun shineth in his strength? John was overwhelmed by the majesty, the glory, and the beauty of Jesus Christ. From the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, he was all loveliness and all beauty. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet, from his head to his feet, John saw nothing but beauty and loveliness and glory and majesty. But it is to the feet of Christ that we want to come to this evening. We want to come to the feet of Christ, those feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Now you'll notice that his feet were not brass. John says they were like fine brass as it burned in the furnace. That was John's way of describing what he saw with regard to the feet of Christ. The beauty and the loveliness of Christ's feet caught his attention. And here you have Christ and his arresting beauty. What John saw that day, and Jesus Christ arrested him, was as if he couldn't take his eyes off him. His head, he looked at his eyes, he looked at his head, he looked at his feet, he heard his voice, he looked at his mouth, he looked at his countenance. It's all Christ. Such was the loveliness and the beauty of the Lord Jesus. He said it was like fine brass as it burned in a furnace, speaking to us of his loveliness. He saw the loveliness of his head, the loveliness and the beauty of his eyes, the beauty of his feet, the loveliness of his voice, the beauty of his right hand, the loveliness of his mouth, and how lovely that countenance Jesus Christ was to John. What a revelation of the beauty of Christ this was. John saw that day Christ's complete beauty. His beauty was complete. It was not the first time that John had seen Christ in his beauty and his glory. He was with Peter and James in the Mount of Transfiguration. They'd gone there to pray. The Lord led them up that mount. And we read in Matthew 17, he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. You never know what happens when you go to a prayer meeting. You never know how Jesus Christ will reveal himself to those who gather for prayer. Peter, James, and John had gathered for prayer on that mount. They saw Christ in his glory. But I want you to notice that this view of the beauty and the loveliness of Christ on that mount of transfiguration was somewhat limited. Because we read in Matthew there that they saw his face that shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Nothing else is mentioned. Just his face and his raiment. Now when John was on the Isle of Patmos, John mentioned 7 things that he saw. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he just mentions 2. So his view of the glory of Christ, the beauty of Christ, was somewhat limited. Somewhat restricted. That wasn't Christ's fault, of course. That was John's fault. Because on the Mount of Transfiguration, we are told that those 3 disciples were heavy with sleep. They slept in the prayer meeting and they missed a full view of Christ and his loveliness, Christ and his beauty, and Christ and his glory. They missed out that day. But here on the Isle of Patmos, John is wide awake. And he is given a complete view of the glory and the beauty and the loveliness of the Lord Jesus. 7 things John saw with regard to Christ. His head, his eyes, his feet, his voice, his mouth, his countenance, his right hand. 7 things. 7, of course, we know is the number of perfection, the number of completeness. And when John saw the feet of Christ as they burned in a furnace, that was just part of the complete and perfect revelation of Jesus Christ that John had that day. And remember, believer, John saw Christ in his glory. He saw Jesus Christ as Christ is now. And if we were to go home to heaven now, this is what we would see. We would see Christ in his glory. We would see the Lord Jesus in his beauty. And I tell you this, as we said last week, if we entered into the presence of the Lord Jesus, We would look upon his head. We would look upon and into those eyes. We would look at those feet. We would hear his voice. We would look at his right hand. We would see his countenance. And we would say, yea, he is altogether lovely. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory. Hallelujah. I shall see him by and by. And will be struck by the beauty of Christ. And the beauty and the loveliness of those feet, which are like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. We notice something else. That the word that John used here regarding fine brass is a word that means whiteness. Are clear. And so as John looked at the feet of Christ, he saw their whiteness and how clear they were. Here you have a contrasting beauty. He looked at the feet of Christ, there was there a contrasting beauty. The word John used for brass is only found in one other place in the New Testament. So the word for brass, fine brass, is only found twice in the New Testament. On both occasions, the word is used to describe Jesus Christ. The word is never used to describe anything or anyone else. It is unique to Jesus Christ. Does that not speak to us then of the loveliness of Christ, the unique loveliness of Christ? That he has a loveliness and a beauty that no one else possesses. That's in contrast to man. This would surely speak to us of the beauty of Christ's purity and sinlessness, white and clear. Christ's beautiful feet were transparent, as it were. There's nothing hidden, nothing hypocritical. What you saw, what John saw, was indeed what Christ is. That's what he is. He saw in Christ that day a beauty and a loveliness he had never seen before. For of Christ's holiness and sinlessness and purity is represented by his feet, which are like fine brass. Then what did John see when he would have looked at his fellow man? From head to foot, as far as Christ was concerned, he saw nothing but loveliness and beauty and holiness and majesty. But Isaiah the prophet tells us, what we see in man, what God sees in man. In Isaiah 1 verse 5, why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. from the sole of the foot even on to the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So on the one hand, you have the revelation of Christ. On the other, you have there the picture of man. And what a contrast. John could have looked at man from head to foot. He would have seen nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. But that day on the Isle of Patmos, he looked at Jesus Christ. He saw in Jesus Christ nothing but loveliness and beauty. He saw this vileness in man. He saw it in those with hatred in their eyes who wanted to stone the Lord. He saw it in those with murder in their hearts who wanted to kill the Lord. He saw it in those with madness in their minds who wanted to destroy the Lord. And he saw it in those whose feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. He saw everything that Isaiah had said was to be found in man from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. That's what man is. He's full of wounds and bruises, putrefying sores, full of rottenness and corruption and vileness. But what a contrast when John looked at Christ. Hallelujah. He looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever he looked that day in the Isle of Patmos, wherever he looked upon the Son of Man, he saw nothing but beauty. He saw nothing but loveliness. He saw the beauty of holiness. He saw it in his head. He saw it in his eyes. He heard it in his voice. He saw it in his hands. He saw it in his mouth. He saw it in his countenance. And right down to his feet, he saw it there. Those beautiful feet of Jesus Christ that John saw were likened on to fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. Those feet were changeless, spoke of changeless beauty. Changeless beauty. John was first of all arrested by the beauty of those feet as Christ stood in the midst of the candlesticks. And then in chapter 2 and verse 1. And then again we read that he saw the Lord and he walked in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Those are the same feet. The same beautiful feet that John saw standing in the synagogue in Nazareth. Same feet. Same person. Same Jesus. They're the same beautiful feet which John saw walking the dusty roads of Capernaum and the streets of Jerusalem. The same feet that descended the valley of Kidron. And the same feet that climbed Mount Calvary. They're the same feet that John saw in glory. But now John sees those feet as he had never seen them before. Now he sees Christ as he had never seen him before. Even though they were the same feet that had walked with John. You see, Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. Yet John had not seen the unchangeable Christ as lovely and as beautiful as he saw him that day in Patmos. He had a limited view of the lovely, glorified Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we've said. And it was John's fault that he did not see more of Christ, because with the others he was heavy with sleep. And it is because of our slackness. It is because of our sinfulness. It is because of our fleshly nature that we don't see more of the beauty of Jesus Christ. It is. Spurgeon pointed this out in his wonderful hymn. Amidst us our beloved stands, and bids us view his pierced hands, points to his wounded feet, and sighed, blessed emblems of the crucified, if now with eyes defiled, and dim, that's why we can't see Christ in his beauty as we ought to see him. If now with eyes defiled and dim we see the signs but see not him, oh may his love the scales displace and bid us see him face to face. Thy glorious bridegroom off our hearts, thy present smile a heaven imparts, so lift the veil, if veil there be. Let every saint thy beauties see. Oh, for a revelation of our beautiful, lovely, wonderful Lord. We've considered Christ and his arresting beauty. Let us consider Christ and his active beauty. The feet of Christ, as John saw them, as we have said, were active. There in Revelation 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. The feet are active. And there you have the active beauty of the Lord Jesus. You see the beauty of Christ in the gospel. When writing to the Christians at Rome, Paul quoted the words of Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Romans 10 verse 15. The reference there is to the messengers that preach the gospel of peace to troubled souls. So delighted is that people to hear the gospel of peace delivered to them that they praise the feet of them that brought the gospel. Beautiful feet that brought the gospel of peace to us. And how active was Christ in bringing the gospel? For Christ is the messenger of the covenant. And Jesus Christ was active in bringing the gospel to those who sat in darkness. The moment his feet touched this earth, the heavens burst into song. And they sang, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And from Bethlehem's manger, The messenger with beautiful feet brought the gospel to the needy in Nazareth. That's where he commenced his ministry, and he entered into the synagogue there. And there he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel from Isaiah 61. And there, in Luke 4, we have the record, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Does that not mean that the feet of Christ are beautiful feet? Because they were active in bringing the gospel, preaching the gospel to those who sat in darkness. And those beautiful feet of Christ carried the gospel to Galilee, to Capernaum, carried the gospel to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. The messenger of the covenant with beautiful feet took the gospel to the Gadarenes, to the city of Nain, to Bethany, and to Jerusalem. How beautiful. Upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. That's the feet of Christ. No wonder legion fell at those feet, for they had brought the gospel of peace and salvation to him. No wonder the woman of the streets, the woman of the city, wept at the Savior's feet and kissed those feet. For those feet brought the gospel of freedom and liberty and peace and salvation to her. Have you ever felt like kissing the beautiful feet of Christ? Because those feet have brought the gospel to you and me. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. John saw Christ in his beauty and how active he was there in the midst of the golden candlesticks, reminding him again of Christ's ministry and the beauty of Christ and his grace, the beauty of Christ and his gospel, and the beauty of Christ and his grace. Peter tells us that Christ went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10, verse 38. He went about doing good. Those feet of Christ went about doing good. And wherever those beautiful feet took him to do good, his goodness to others was all of grace. He fulfilled the prophetic words he quoted from Isaiah 61 in the synagogue of Nazareth. He fulfilled those words. We just read them. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And when the Lord Jesus went to the poor, and he went to the brokenhearted, and he went to the captives, he did so and brought them deliverance and healed them. And it was all of grace. It was all of grace. It was grace that ordered his feet to walk by the pool of Bethesda and rescue that man in his weakness. It was grace that ordered his feet to walk that road out of Jericho to rescue Bartimaeus from his blindness. It was grace that ordered his feet to walk that road to Jacob's well to rescue a woman from a life of sinfulness. It was grace that ordered his feet to walk into the temple to heal the man with the withered hand. It was grace that ordered his feet to walk and enter a certain village where 10 lepers were healed. And they were all delivered from their afflictions by grace alone. Does that not make the feet of Jesus Christ beautiful feet? Because every step that he took to help the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, the bruised, every step he took was a step of grace. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of Christ. For they may be like an undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. But there's something else. I believe it's interesting that John said of Christ, his feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. As if they burned in a furnace. You see, there was a time when those feet did burn in a furnace. And that John saw Christ and the beauty of Christ and his grace and his gospel. Did he not see the beauty of Christ at Golgotha? The reference to the furnace would speak to us of God's wrath and God's judgment. You recall when God poured out his wrath upon the cities of the plain. That the next morning Abraham went out and stood in that place where he had stood with God. And he looked upon the place where the cities of the plain stood. And how did he describe it? He described it like a furnace. It was like a furnace. The smoke went up from that place as the smoke would go up from a furnace. And there we see the furnace speaks to us of God's wrath and God's judgment. The fire of heaven had fallen upon the cities of the plain because of their gross sin. Not one soul survived that furnace. Not one soul was able to stand in that furnace of judgment and wrath. Everyone perished in their sin. Not one man was able to stand the fierceness of God's holy indignation. But our thoughts turn to a certain place where a hotter furnace burned. Our thoughts turn to the place called Calvary. It was there that the Son of Man stood in a furnace. It was there that the Son of Man stood in the furnace of the fierceness of God's anger and wrath. He entered that burning furnace to rescue lost souls. He entered that furnace and he stood in that furnace to save man from God's holy indignation. To save his people from their sins. And he went there to shed his blood for our sins and to suffer the consequences of our sins, which meant he must stand in the furnace of God's wrath. As Anne Ross, cousin, has penned the words, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. Why? Because Jesus stood in the sinner's stead. Jesus entered that furnace of God's wrath. Jesus stood in the furnace of God's wrath. No wonder John looked upon the feet of Christ and he was reminded of that, I believe, and he said that his feet were like fine brass as they burned in a furnace. And those feet did burn. And Christ bore it all for us. And how beautiful now are those feet. When we consider Golgotha, when we consider Calvary, do those feet not appear even more beautiful to us? You might say, but they are scarred feet. Well, I would reply, for me, that's what makes them all the more beautiful. Because those feet were scarred for me. How beautiful are those feet? Let us see Christ. Let us see the feet of Christ as John saw them that day. For if we do, we'll remember Calvary. But then that leads us finally to consider Christ and his adorable beauty. Notice again that verse 15 and what it says. And his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And then the voice is the sound of many waters. And the right hand with the seven stars. And his mouth and his countenance as it did shine as the sun in his strength. And verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. John fell at the feet of Christ. Those feet that he likened on the fine brass. Those feet that he likened on to brass that burned in a furnace. There was nowhere else for John to go but to the feet of Jesus Christ. Notice the words. When I saw him. Christ was in the midst of the candlesticks. Doesn't say when I saw the candlesticks, when I saw the churches. No, it says when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I tell you, believer, if we could only see Christ, we would fall at his feet as well. We would fall at his feet. Is that not where we will fall when we enter his presence? Will we not fall at his feet? You have the person. When I saw him. And then you have his place. Where was his place? It was at the feet of Christ. overcome, overwhelmed by the beauty, glory, majesty, loveliness of Christ, John could do nothing else but fall at the Savior's feet. You think of the others in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, in the Gospels that you read about, who fell at the feet of Jesus. You recall Mary, who sat at his feet, hearing his word. You think of the woman who anointed his feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. And that woman of the streets, that woman of the city, when she heard that Christ was in a certain house, she came in and stood behind him, and she stood at his feet, and she wept at his feet, and washed his feet with her tears. Her adoration. Those feet were the most beautiful feet she had ever seen. You think of the woman as they returned that morning from the sepulchre and they saw the risen Christ. What did they do? They fell at his feet and they held him by the feet in adoration. And here's John. And when he saw him, when I saw him, he says, I fell at his feet. Was dead. Oh, the beautiful feet of Christ. They mean so much to us tonight. Those feet brought to us the gospel. Those feet stood in our room instead at Calvary. Those feet entered the burning furnace of God's wrath. What else can we do? But fall at those feet tonight and worship him and say, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. For I love thee. My Jesus, 'tis now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O our God and Father, we give thee thanks tonight that John indeed did turn when he heard that voice behind him when an exile in the Isle of Patmos. We're glad he turned, for had he not turned, he wouldn't have received this revelation. Had he not turned, he wouldn't have seen Christ in his glory. And Lord, we're glad that he turned, and we're glad that he made a record of all that he saw. Oh Lord, take the veil from our eyes. Remove the scales from our eyes. That we might see more of the beauty of Christ from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. How beautiful are the feet of Jesus Christ. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts tonight. We will leave the house of God rejoicing in Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer.